We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, 6:15 on your Tuesday morning. Happy to be joined now by ESPN NASCAR College Football Mr. Do-It-All reporter Marty Smith. Good morning, Marty. How you doing this morning?
Man, it's early out there, boys. I like how y'all got Chief on, though. I'm proud of y'all for having Chief on that early.
Hey, of course we got to bring Eric Church on when you come on the show.
Got to bring it.
We have to. Man, I saw a great tweet from you on Sunday. It said Symphony. And it was just the sound of Darlington Motor Speedway and the NASCARs rolling around the track. It was back, and it was back in a big way. How good is it to have just sports back from your perspective? Because, I mean, we've been sitting here without anything, and NASCAR is near and dear to your heart, and the Symphony returned this past weekend.
I think it's huge for the sport. They checked every box that they had hoped to check, and that being first and foremost, getting back to competition and being first. And I know USC and whatnot was back, and I know that they had some golf on as well. But NASCAR looked at this going in as a massive opportunity for exposure and eyeballs in a moment when so many of us yearned for it. And they achieved that. It was extremely highly rated for Fox. More than 6.3 million viewers watched that race. And so that was up nearly 40% year over year. So a massive win. And they did it in a way where they adhered to very stringent COVID-19 protocol. NASCAR put in very stringent measures, and the teams adhered to those, and ultimately everyone won. And of course, that includes Kevin Harvick, who won his 50th race and at the highest level. But it was awesome to see the sport back, and no matter how weird it was, and it was weird, I was there. I wasn't allowed to go inside the racetrack, so I reported from outside. And it was weird, man. I've covered NASCAR professionally since May of 1998. I'm old, don't judge. But it was. I've never been to a racetrack on race day when it was quiet like that. But when those engines fired up and they sailed it off into turn one, it really was a symphony. It was awesome to have sport back and have NASCAR back, and it gives me more hope for having football in the fall, which will be the barometer for me.
You know, Marty, can you talk a little bit about, we know what COVID-19 has done for the safety of fans and everybody and the guys and the drivers for. What was it like for the guys coming back? I know I heard you talking about Golic and Wingo. They didn't have time to do a lot of practice. You know, we saw some crashes early. Were these guys a little bit nervous? It's kind of like riding a bike when you get back out there. Were they like, heck, man, I just jump in this car and let's go 200. How long did it feel like they needed to get their feet wet a little bit when they were driving?
So it was a while, and yes, there were nerves. And Denny Hamlin, the three-time Daytona 500 champion, told me, anybody who tells you they don't have some nerves lying. And he actually told me as well, I spoke with him on his way down to the track on Sunday morning. And I asked him about those emotions, and he was anxious, but more for the anticipation of the event than the outcome or the actual minutiae and nuance of running it. But he did tell me that he was going to get to his motor home. He was going to pore over notes from the previous Darlington race because, not to go too inside baseball, but that track itself is extremely, extremely challenging. You have to race the track itself every bit as much or more than the competitors around you. Because it's so tight, the way that it impacts tire wear and therefore affects the way that the car handles, if you don't focus every single lap, you're in that fence, man, fast. Mm. And we saw that with, like, Jimmy Johnson. You know, Jimmy Johnson was leading the race on the last lap of the first stage and felt like he had that run off the corner handled. The driver in front of him bobbled a little bit. Johnson ran right into him, and the next thing you know, the race leader's on a on a hook and heading back to Charlotte. So there were a lot of nerves, but they were smart for the most part. They waited until that first competition caution, which was a predetermined stoppage of the race, felt their cars out, were able to make the adjustments necessary and go from there. So there was absolutely that, and the fact that it was just different. I mean, there was less than one-third of the typical amount of people in the infield. The drivers had to – I know this sounds funny, but, like, they had to carry their own drinks. They had to carry their helmets. They had to – like, they were alone. I know that sounds funny, but – all of that stuff is typically handled by another person or persons, and they had to have the wherewithal to make sure they had all their stuff. And it's just, it was a lot and very different, but they did it, and they did it well.
Marty, speak to this, you know, as athletes, I mean, you cover college football and NASCAR. How much do the fans mean compared to, because, I mean, playing in front of fans in sports is, you can't even put a number on it. What does it mean for the NASCAR guys when they're out there and not having that energy? Because I know as former athletes, we all talk about it. You feed off that. What was it like for those guys, do you think?
In the car, it didn't matter. Once Kevin Harvick won that race and came down the front stretch and did a burnout in his car and hopped out, and he's so infused with adrenaline and appreciation for winning his 50th race at the highest level and doing so in an historic race like this, nothing. There's no nothing.
Yeah.
He just gets out of the race car and it's quiet. And that's when it really hit him that he's like, wow, okay. The fans are so integral to the fabric of sport. That energy is every bit as important as, like, I mean, especially for stick and ball sports where it's so immediate that way. And that energy is, it ebbs and flows during events based on what happens in that event, and the athletes feed off of that. And so I don't know what that's going to look like when football gets back or baseball or hoops get back and they do that in front of no fans, but it's going to be a stark contrast when we hear the sneakers squeak and when we hear guys yelling at each other. And, you know, in football, we're hearing the entire play being called at the line of scrimmage. That's going to be crazy.
Marty, I
don't care. I'm ready for it. Let's roll.
Marty Smith, ESPN NASCAR college football reporter. Now, I said that yesterday NASCAR did a great job with the broadcast part of it, basically making it NASCAR for dummies. They knew the opportunity of more people that hadn't watched a sport in a while were going to be watching. And I think they roped in a few new viewers, or a lot of new viewers, in that, as you said, 6.3 million people watching that Real Heroes 400. Who are a couple of people, a couple of the drivers that maybe people who are new fans, they don't know quite yet, but they should have on their radar and guys that they could pull for?
Guys that they don't know yet. How aware are you guys of Ryan Blaney?
No idea.
Not aware.
Okay, great. What about Clint Bowyer?
We know Clint Bowyer. We actually talked about Clint Bowyer the other day. That's one of the only guys.
Okay, so if you guys haven't heard of Ryan Blaney, that would be my answer, because he is young, supremely talented. He's the son of a former Cup Series driver and the nephew of a sprint car legend. And he's a throwback. I mean, he is as old school, early 80s type of vibe. He'll grow a mullet on a whim because it's funny. He has this, I think he just cut it off, actually. He had a full-blown, like mullet flow and this terrible Tom Selleck stash thing going on. He looked like he was straight out of Central Casting from from Six Pack, and he's very fast and just an awesome kid and a great racer. So he's a great young driver to follow. Are you guys familiar with Ricky Stenhouse?
All I know is that he crashed on the first lap.
He dumped it in the fence on the first lap. Yes, I figured you were going to be like, I only know him because he dated Danica Patrick.
Not bad.
Ricky's another guy that you should cheer for because of that old school kind of mentality and knows exactly who he is, has a great personality, and is a wheel man, even though he dumped in the fence on the first lap. So I say those two guys, watch them. This is an interesting time, too. You're right. NASCAR did get a lot of new eyes, and that's because nobody – like, people had nothing else to watch. And let's be honest, bet on.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big part of this, too, that people who bet sports were jonesing to bet sports. I have never had more text messages from colleagues at ESPN about who to put money on than I did on Sunday. And it was, I was just laughing out loud, man. When there's no football and the only thing going is NASCAR, who am I putting my dollars on today, Martin? And, unfortunately, the two guys that I told most people, did not win, but nonetheless.
I want to switch to college football a little bit for you, Mark, because nobody looks like they have more fun than you. On some of the stories you've done. I know it. I can tell. That's the amount of fun I can tell that you have. We're here on the West Coast, and we're talking about our conferences, and this fascinates me beyond belief because I want to know deep down how much college football means to the region of the SEC and what will people do compared to how you see the national media and how there's like, well, the Pac-12 might not play, and Alabama's not going to play USC, and those games could get canceled. Can you speak a little bit to that? Because sometimes there's a disconnection of really what college football means down there. And I said, does it mean more? Yes, it means more, at least for me, what I see it. Can you speak to that about how much it means to the region for college football?
There's a joke down here in the South that if you want people in the SEC to stay at home during COVID, tell them if they don't stay at home, there won't be football. It's religion, man. I mean, it's religion. I don't know any other way to say it. It is the identity of all of those little towns where those schools are. It is the most important social gathering. It is the most important passion in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and Auburn, and Athens, and on and on and on. And that's not hyperbole. I'm not being overzealous here. That's the facts. And in terms of the money, in terms of Alabama maybe not playing USC, whatever, the money in the SEC that is connected to football is beyond comprehension. Tim Tebow told me last year while I was hosting SEC Nation, we were having a heated discussion between Marcus Spears and Tebow about NIL, name, image, likeness, and what that really means. And during that conversation, Tebow said one thing that really encapsulates to me the financial importance of SEC football. At the University of Florida, where, of course, Tim won two national titles and a Heisman, football pays for every single varsity sport but one, men's basketball, which is self-sustaining. I also heard a stat just now. I did another radio show this morning and brought up that same point. The AL.com in Birmingham did a story about this, and Alabama football pays for every single varsity sport except for one, and that's men's basketball, which the revenue for men's basketball was $43,000.
Wow.
Okay. Jeez. So that puts it into perspective, gentlemen.
Yep.
And that's not just the SEC. Like, it is the SEC above all else. Like, the money connected to football is crazy. And another thing happened down here yesterday that really broke my heart for these young men playing college baseball at Furman.
Yeah.
Furman did away with base. That just, I can't imagine what that must be like, because that's a dream that's being vanquished. And it's not just there. This is starting to happen across the collegiate landscape and will continue to happen, but it's no less gutting. And so I don't know, man. I certainly hope that they figure out a way to play college football in some capacity. But I will say this too. I don't see how they can play college football if schools aren't in session. If there aren't students on campus, I don't know how you justify it. So there's a lot going on with these college administrators and presidents. A lot of huge, very important, difficult decisions that are being made and have to be made. I just hope we're in a position where they can play.
You know, you mentioned something. I mean, you say it's religion, and everybody, it just kind of encapsulates all the communities there. You know, it kind of popped into my head. It is so much of the community, and there's so many things that go into a football game that aren't even inside the stadium. If football goes on with half a stadium full or no fans at all, do you think that things like the Vol Walk in Knoxville or just tailgating in a parking lot is something fans, even though they have no opportunity to go into the game at all, will still be going to these campuses on Saturday afternoons?
I don't know that they'll have the opportunity to, and I reach back to what I just experienced at NASCAR on Sunday. They were not allowed to. There were more law enforcement officials at that racetrack on Sunday than you could imagine to make sure that random fans didn't show up to pop right. up a tent and bring a cooler just to raise some hell and toss back some cold beer.
Yeah.
So as much as those fans are going to want to do that, and that is a great point and a great question, because these are familial, these are family traditions. The Grove at Ole Miss is a family tradition for generations. The Tiger Walk at LSU, that thousands and thousands of people are involved in just being there. And there's so much passion for it. And it is marked calendars. And so I think the answer is that they would want to, certainly, but I don't think they're going to be able to.
Right.
You know, what does that look like when we get to September? Is it a scenario where it's opened up to the point where maybe they play in front of select groups of people? If school is back in session, is it a student allotment? Is it season ticket holder allotments? I don't know. But is it nobody? Is it just, you know, us at ESPN? I don't know. I just hope that that happens, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Marty Smith, ESPN, NASCAR, and college football reporter. Thank you so much for getting
awesome,
up with
Marty,
us this morning.
You.
Really appreciate it, man.
Appreciate you. Y'all stay safe out there. Thank you for having me.
You as well. Marty Smith, ESPN.
I could talk to Marty for hours.
Nicest guy in college football, too.
Well, not and, just incredible.
And NASCAR. I guess I'm assuming NASCAR, too.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.